This year is brought to you by Eshel Publications. Eshel Publications is a non-profit organization dedicated to spreading the Torah, Shiurim, and Sefarim of Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky. For sponsorships or more information, visit eshelpublications.com.
Okay, so we're holding here in Nuntes at the end. I think we're holding for Amam Lofefes Beish, right? Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I have.
Yeah. The Amam Lufefes Be'esh. So it we said before the letters are with fire. It's black fire, white fire, and then we have the chsima, and then we have Lufefes Be'esh means it's enveloped with fire. It's totally pirish. Alifuf azehu malbush atayr. There's a levush to tayr. For a spiral of mala in your malbush atayr, the hainu gila atayr v'nikr malbush. Meshachem zel mala. Kiapshat nikr malbush. Rotzalema, al toima kidova zehim sipurim sha'olam haze, veina sechaloki. Avagama malbush sechaloki. So, like this, the Levush, we spoke about this a few times. A Levush is always the hechatims of something miskala. Just like a person is not miskala to another person except through Levush, people that I know only through a Levush. So to Chochmas Eloikis comes to us in Levush. It comes to us in Halachas of Mishpatim, and comes in a Sher, in an Eved Ivri, in a Boyer. It comes to us in Truma. It comes to us in many, many Halachas and Maisias. One could assume that those Levushim don't have the Dag of Likus. So a person gives a mashal. So a mashal person can have a dvar chachma that he wants to convey. The dvar chachma can be profound. The mashal, he's not a great bal mashal, so the mashal is okay, but it's crude. Just like when a person wears gloves, the gloves can seriously take away from his ability to feel anything. You know, his hand motion becomes crude. So Torah, it's levush is also a leikus. Ki amr chazal v'leyu leyibo, afilu sichas chon shebacham tzorach limud behem. Ki ikha sechol nikra pri. So Torah has peiros. The peiros are the mechuvin. V'kore sichas chon shebacham alin ki alin hu malbush ha-pri. The aleh covers the tree, covers the peiros. So a person, a Talmud Chacham, it means somebody who's Holma Husas Chachma. So when he talks, whatever he's saying is really, it's emanating from Chachma, and it's expressing it in Divrei Chulin. But so it's this, the Leila Yibol means the Maila of Torah applies to the Aleh, to the Levush, as it does to the Pnim itself. Vayira, Kalifa Zelay Baal Dovah Shukaisev Kasa B'Torah, Rak Adovim Bachutz, Shesh Kamadon Shayitzim HaTorah, Atayah Shabapay Yayitzim HaTorah. So in a certain sense, Torah Shabal Peh is also Yetzim Nateir, who live of a Torah, who are Malbush the Torah. Adorin the Torah Atzam, and live of a Torah with Gam Kitchelesh. So he says over here that the Torah Shabal Peh is the Levush and so on. I'm not sure what he means over here by the Torah Shabal Peh. It could be, like he said before, so let's understand, Torah Shabal Peh includes two levels of items. The halachas psukris, that is like what the Mishnah is, what the medrash halacha are, the sifra, the mechilta, those are all dinim. They are clear halachas. They could possibly be, he could be referring to that as being alei to Torah, because this is already how to apply the Torah to the world. So that's one thing that he could possibly mean. it could be talking about Torah Shebal Peh, the Etzem Dinim, Chlapi Torah itself. Torah says Shabbos, you know, Loisasa Kol Malacha. That is Gufa Torah. What is called Malacha and all the cases, that's already a Levush. It could be referring to that. Or could be he's including the halachas psukas as part of Torah itself. This is Torah itself. And our debate and discussion about it, and more closely to what our Torah Shebal Peh is, trying to understand and trying to analyze what it says, could be referring to that as Aleph, as the Levush. I'm not sure which one he's referring to. So the first thing he says is Mufefes Beish means that Torah itself presents itself, even in the covering that presents itself, that's also Torah. Gadim roy al malbush avad. Olkach nikra tziruf atur adam malbush. Gamaros chava adam. Uboi hu tova tovea. I think it's been lashon like matbea. It's he. This is where a person presents himself. So there's an inyan of levush, where the levush itself becomes mechuba to the person himself. For us, since we meet people in the levush, so when we think of a person, we think of him with the levush as well. So the levush becomes a tzirf automatically to the person. Va'amur ki gam atzirf hazeh shushal teira shushal eish ka teira afkesh atzirf v'chim al-aylam ein kan kabbalah m'ur v'ma mekabal raka teira mitzarf ha-mekabal v'ein m'ur v'ma mekabal klal. So the Torah itself remains independent of its levush, but the levush is what's mitzvah for the person. So I don't know what a person, quote unquote, really looks like. I know him in his levush. So to me, that becomes part of it. It's very interesting. I told him somebody wrote a sefer with lamdish pieces, lamdish tikkach Torah, and the person was more modern, was a modern person. The sefer was written in a very modern tone. You know, the vocabulary was modern learning. The genre of the Torah was Lamdus, and he had a scum from Michal Feinstein. It was somebody Michal Feinstein knew well, obviously. Somebody lives in Muncie. And Reb Michal writes in a scum, and that's a very, very nice sefer. And he says, but I must make a comment. He said, our chinuch has been that the Levushi Torah are part and parcel of Torah itself. And Torah has an own natural language. And I don't feel comfortable with dressing an alien Levush to Divrei Torah. Plus minus, that's what he says. But the point is, since you're presenting something in Levush, and a lot of times it's like that, the words we use and the phrases and so on, present something in a certain way, and they may be technically correct, but the question is it giving over the levush or not? A person can be wearing clothing that's a mismatch. Somebody is, I don't know, a banker, and he puts on a pair of jeans of stuff that a farmer wears. He's dressed, but he's not really presenting himself. The dress is jarringly different than the person. So it's something that a person has to be able to understand. Divrei Torah have a flow, have a language that expresses subtly a lot about the language. Let's give an example. I just want to present something. When a paper, the academic genre of writing of papers, presents things in a tone of dispassionate distance. It's not good form to feel that the person is very, very cut off. But the thing, he's cool, standing at a distance and putting slices under his microscope. That's considered good form in writing a paper. In Divertera, there's something jarring about it. So Reb Chaim is using his seichel and his das to analyze whatever Rambam is talking about, but it's very hard not to feel him as part of the Reb Chaim, part of the Rambam. He's not an outsider who's dispassionately analyzing what did Reb Chaim mean and what was his approach and so on. He's flowing with it. And those are subtle things, but they obviously are a difference. The presentation is part and parcel. So Divrei Torah needs to be presented in a Mafasa Be'esh. And it's not easy. On the one hand, you want to present something where you thought it through and you have kashas, and you have terutzim, and you don't. Rabbi Kivega's kashas are very, very powerful kashas, but they never leave you thinking that the kashas in any way shook his confidence in the Gemara. It's if Adrabba, you get the intense sense of I wish I could understand it, and that comes through very, very strongly in Kivega. The Netziv used to say Netziv was a big chasser Kivega, and they once brought him a biography of Kivega to read. Someone come out of a biography, and he had no interest in it, and he said, I don't care what street he lived on, I care about the person. And what Rabbi Kivega says is, I get my Yerushalayim from the Tshuvas of Rabbi Kivega. But you get it very clearly. You get, you know, learning Rabbi Kivega, you come out with his tremendous, incredible Haracha for Torah, the understanding that as long as it's Shver, I haven't understood it, and I'm missing something, and the tremendous Tsar, I'm missing it. Very, very different Mahalach. Okay, v'yeshal lahavne elu dvar mashal zochakan ka teira oyrushal eish. So the skin of teira is eish. For oyk suvi beish, for oyk chasum beish, for oyk fesi beish, arba dvar mashal zochakan ka teira shevos la oylam yesha ila arba dvar makurum shal eish. So we have over here that four different dargas of eish, and he leaves it blank as such, doesn't explain what he's emphasizing. So generally speaking, whenever you have lashainess like this, he's usually referring to something. Fours refer to either the four oisius of Hashem Havaya, four lamas. I would like to think guardedly that he's referring to the possibly four different the letters, what they stand for, but just briefly, let's pick out the points. Oira shel eish is pre. In other words, it's not the beginning of itself. It's something, it stands for some darga that precedes everything else. The paper, the background on which Torah is given, the background is always before the Gilui. Lamashal, when I see a certain event, I ask myself, what's the background? Background is always what was. So it would refer to Midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which could be pre. We could call it Kesa if we want. It's a darga that's pre. You have a darga that is the Torah itself. And then you have the Chasima. The Chasima is the midpoint that brings everything together. The Shem Havaya of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is connected a midpoint Midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then you have the oyer, the lufefes, which is how it expresses itself outside. That I would think that that's what he means. So he means the pre-mida, the mida that's in the background before any gilui HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the gilui HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the gilui that brings together all of it. So just like Rosh Hashem Havaya is not the first, when you're talking about the Seamus, the attribution of Seamus, the different midas, Havaya is not the first one. Havaya is the central one. It sort of is everything altogether. It's the focal point and the sort of center of gravity of all HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Haggis. And then you have Malchus, which is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu expresses it to the other in the outside. Possibly, I don't know, say some, but B'dach Klau, whenever you have four, it usually refers to one of those in Yanim. The Amar, Im Shekosev Mikaneach HaKumus HaSayos. It says, as he was writing Torah, the ink was, he would wipe it in his hair. What does that mean? Ratzalayma, HaSefek HaShepozak Melichtev Mikaneach HaKumus. So when a person has a pen and the pen picks up a reservoir, the pen has in itself a reservoir of ink. Even in a quill, you take the quill, you sap up some ink with it. That ink is just a glob of ink, and you then take and write. The writing it makes it thinner, meaning a glob of ink is the makor, but it's not chachma itself. It's sort of in a raw form. When you write, you're giving it shape, which means you're cutting, you're whittling away, or in the case of writing, you're writing a thin line and so on. So he says, So we have a person who's sitting out to learn, Moshe Rabbeinu, has chachma in his head. He has a reservoir of chachma. As he begins to apply it to Torah, it gets refined. So Moshe Rabbeinu was mekabel Torah, and that begins to process his chachma. So the marshal, the way he's presenting it is as follows. Moshe Rabbeinu's own seichel, because it's intertwined with Torah, gets some of the horror of Torah. It becomes more refined. So when a person learns to think in a divine way with the perspective of Kadosh Baruch Hu, his own das and chachma tfisa become refined in the process. So that means Moshe Rabbeinu's own ha'aras panim. So it says chachmas adam toyer panav. So any type of chachma gives a person a certain orespanim, because he's writing it, he's able to, some of it reflects back on the person himself. I want to add a nekuda to this and understand something about this, what he says, wiping the quill in your hair. A person has chachma. Chachma, until it actually has approached any problem, is raw material. It's potential. Looking at a person who's intelligent, you feel a certain ha'aris panim versus a person who has a blank and vacant look. The difference in the panim of a person who's has das and chachma seichel is different than a person who's blank. But the chachma and the das and the seichel that a person possesses is general. It doesn't necessarily have the oimik of chachma salaikis. And it's a chachma that applies and fits to the world as it is. Chachma salaikis is an exceptional chachma. It's the understanding of the emes of the world, and what's right, what's wrong, and so on. When a person learns Torah, so two things happen. One is, I now know what have I learned. I know and I understand what's right and what's wrong vis-a-vis what I learned. But the person's own thinking process also becomes in tune with it. It's like anything a person, any discipline, there's what the person learns, and then a person learns to recognize certain things and understand certain things. Intuitively, it follows what I actually learned. That's natural everywhere. When you talk about Das Torah, so there's a lot of not smart things that have been said about Das Torah. A lot of lack of Das about Das Torah has been said. Das Torah is not Ruach HaKodesh. It doesn't mean that if you learn Gemara, you know algebra. It doesn't mean that someone who's a Talmud Chacham knows anything other than what he knows. That's not, there's no echreach for that. It could be, but it doesn't have to be. I always say over, there are stories with the Chazon Ish and medical issues that he seemed to have extraordinary insight. There's not one story, to the best of my knowledge, about the Brisker Rav having any medical insight. I don't think anyone would make an argument the effort Chazon Ish is much bigger than Brisker Rav. They're both giants in Torah, and the Chazon Ish had insight for, I think, certain reasons, but it has nothing to do with it. That's not mean something else. There are issues that have zero moral value. Which doctor should I go to is a question that has zero to do with Torah. And a medical referral person, or somebody who's knowledgeable about the subject, is the best person to go to, obviously. There are issues that are clear shulcharach. What the halacha is in this case is an issue that you need just to know where the Simon Shulcharach is, be able to apply it in a rudimentary way, and you applied it. That also doesn't require more than that. But there are issues that have a very strong moral component. So the marshal, a person has a child or later that's not well, and you need to put a lot of resources into the child's health at the expense of other children. Should I do it? Should I not do it? A doctor has nothing to say about that. A person has a choice of undergoing difficult treatments for the possibility of a certain gain. Should I do it or should I not do it? There's a very strong moral component to it. What is a person, what sacrifice should a person make? What should I prefer? Those are issues that, so how do we approach that issue? It's not a lay question. There's no simon shacharach. I mean, you can apply vaguely a simon. Really are the applications in any way where you could say it's a raya. I mean, the answer is you want a person who you feel intuitively, because he has such a deep sense of what Torah is. He intuitively has a sense of what the right thing is. Let's go to the state of Israel was founded by a very strong Zionist movement that had a very strong anti-religious component. You could say, let's partner with them and get what we can. You could say, if we partner with them, we lose some of our identity. We're sort of admitting to that. There's no clear answer, and yet it's a very, very, it's an issue that has moral implications. And therefore, the person you want to provide for is a person that you feel his sense of Torah is, so the person who has, where the ink that's in the pen is as already, he has some sort of connection with sort of the shirish of that chachma, that gives the person that haras panim. So the chibur of Moshe Rabbeinu to the ink of the Torah gives him the haras panim. Aretira, ki kol inya Torah kol nivdo, ad she yedobak b'fonav shal Moshe aziv, o me'achir ki kol shalech the Torah mesachs la'oyer, ala nivdo me'agashmi, v'im kein eich yoyma she kol shal Torah hu inya gufin b'lavad, ala ha'aymekach en la'afchona b'dvarim, asha im brurin k'sham sarayim, שכל מיצה טוב ואת עושים חויקו גזירו ונדע תאימם, שאיף שלא אמר שיהיה שכה שם בעולם הזה, כי אם שעצה בעצם דוב וכתיב בכלל, אין השכה גם כן טבעי. ולכך הוא צריך הכוס לופעה שיהיה שכה רוחתים בטריה, לשבור מגוף המיצה אין זוכר ביה. So finally he says an extraordinary point. It's a point that either you totally eradicates the question or leaves you baffled. His question was, why does the Torah tell me in Olam Haba? So the Maral says that question is based on the following premise, that a person is learning Torah, and if he reads the psukim where they are, it sounds like the only point of the psukim is a reward in this world. And so on and so forth. So if Torah were a system of that relates to a life in this world, then that Havamina is a good Havamina. The Torah is a manual in how to live a very good society. You have Mishpatim. This is how you arrange different halachas and how you arrange different affairs of people and so on and so forth. That has a Havamina. But if so much of the Torah is beyond that, so much of the Torah is the something which is not this world. Eating kasha has nothing to do with this world. Klaim has nothing to do with this world. Arayis, most arayis really have nothing to do with this world. So there must be a whole other dimension that's of Olam Haba. They must be relating to something other than here. So the very Torah itself, the mitzvah speak of something else. You know, there's no makom tos to think that it stays in this world, because Torah obviously has no shaykhs with this world. There's so much of it that is not doesn't add anything, doesn't really change or add anything in this world. That's his teretz over here, which I assume he feels that this is a teretz that makes the kasha no kasha, so to speak. And then he's going to speak, next parak is speak why there is no schar in Olam Haza and so on. So Mitzvah Shem, next week we'll start next parak. So we're heading, this is the list, it goes to Ayin. So we actually are seeing see him in the, somewhere. Okay.
The rest of you have time for a question?
Yeah.
The Indian yeshivas to learn in Yiddish. The Russians say that's this the levushim of Torah, and if it is, so what's lost when we're not doing that?
So there's two flows for Yiddish. One is the flow. One is the Chassidish flow, which meant they look for Yiddish as a way to separate from the world outside in general. So that has more to do with the bigger picture. That you should feel at home in Yiddish and stranger in English. That's one direction. In yeshivas, the sense was the language had been built up to express learning. And there are a lot of, it's funny, in Eretz Yisrael, even the real Israelis, there's a whole slew of words, you know, like you know, litzestel from the Lashon tzustel, and lasot knech. You know, there's a lot of borrowed vocabulary, because it was felt the Yiddish had been used so long, it developed the whole vocabulary and expresses it. When you use Hebrew words, you're tending to use academic words or other words that had been established by other people. So I think there was a sense of that. There was a sense of keeping that language. So in the literature yeshivas, that was it. I believe in Yisrael, it's kemat, very little is left in Yiddish. I don't think Yatzefet has much Yiddish in Yerushalayim. You have the Chassidim and you have the Briskas. Those are the two that have kept in Yiddish, even the girls' schools, I think, and so on. But I believe that's the Malach. Okay, good. Good vach.